예.
American history plagiarized inside books and education, writing for the past and the future, corruption of the nation. I've lost my willing to open, bro, I locked to one side. At the microchip in control, where your ignorance may reside. Silver line, television, forgot on what's reality. 1984, miraculous brother, both of formality. Who's trying to explain to us who American heroes were? A bunch of Zionists, villages, politics, control of the world. If they were heroes, let me tell you who the American villains were. The ones they call heroes, pertaining by political power, well. The Spanish and French flu in South America started. Catholic Jesuits influence spread, it was the Inca king that departed. Tupac Amaru II was born in the midst of the degree. Studied his family background and Inca spirituality. Now within the political system, you witnessed the corruption. So we executed the Spanish corruptors and let them know he was running. 4,000 Indians, 6 tribes, the first revolution begun. Executed slave master Jesuits with his life also begun. South America, now a republic of Spanish controlled settlement. Having Incas going to exile until the United Covenant. During that time, the English, French, and the Spanish of North were establishing the slave trade and with Indian tribes coast to coast. Nat Turner started his own revolution inside. Born in 1800, the slave since his mother's womb was divine. He killed his master, freed more than 50 slaves of his people. He then killed more 60 plantation owners. His army was lethal, putting remnants of the first strike into order of alarm, allowing the murder of Nat Turner by the North and South armies. Propaganda labeled him a rapist and a murderer. Not a rebel, a survivalist, a liberator that reverts the cause. As the Second Reich established itself, the Aryan faction. The strongest powers entered to understand the plan that's in action. Opposite cameras exposed the actions taking place. Fighting in World War I, they coming back to fight against the states. After his revolution in Puerto Rico was at a near fail, undercover lethal injected to cease the fight that might prevail. Marcus Garvey established a black union in every country. To banish the poison in London, they decided to punish. Once Mason Society members alike gave the order to withstand the American Revolution happening over waters. So Che Guevara made his move and wrote guerrilla tactics, attacking neocolonialism and imperialist fascists. Like World War II, American troops are fighting such evil. But turned out the Third Reich was an idea passed along for a sequel. Executed by the CIA, Che died in Bolivia strong. His tactics were stolen and used in the conflict in Vietnam. Malcolm gave ideas of spiritual connection of one's racial entity, telling us to be armed and defend yourself from the true enemy. By any means necessary, protect your family and your people. And just for that, a shock and blast from the order born in the steeple. Black Panther Party was the exclamation point with the gun. Laying guerrilla war in the streets, but never was on the run. Bobby got it, Frank got it, Huey got it, what's left? The party scattered everywhere, but one didn't say breath. And me, Abu Jamal, exposed the neo-political agenda. Now locked behind bars as a cop killer. No surrender, no evidence, many eyewitnesses, but you know how it flows. Whatever threatens the plans of a new world order must go. Hunter Thomas from Hell's Angels to make a 9/11 report. All of a sudden shoots himself, the gun been given by force. Malakazi, York also found with the dead case. Who knew the Wambianism is shown the light of a different new race. From magician architecture to extra-dimensional signs, a brand of symbolism that written history to his time. Soon the thoughts of UFOlogy had just come to place. William Cooper theorized this and linked this to the human race. To the new world agenda, tech the revolution at a fast pace. He found the truth and decided to send his fam out of state. The cops shot him up right in front of his Arizona home. Assassination now was a tool, so now I practice the chrome. Aaron Russo, known as a former friend of the Rockefellers, exposed a step-by-step plan of world war that's to uncover. Who killed him? They say that he died from bladder cancer. Is it true or false? I can't tell if it's propaganda. All I know is heroes that define evolutionized power. A political and military establishment that's been devoured. Or something a lot more hidden and superior than you imagine. Still more to the concept of truth that you take as a ration. Our souls interfere, criticize the government all you want. But without fighting the real enemy, you're the next one under the gun. Now who's the true villains? Sign Maccabean the Rebel, your American villain.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here for another Wednesday here on April the 28th, 2010. And we got a big show lined up tonight because it's our end of April special. And running down a recap of the month, we're going to be discussing some key issues here today. To start off with, we're going to get into the issue of immigration. And actually, the co-host, Rob Nieto, was going to prepare a few clips on the anti-immigration bill in Arizona that has was passed last week, signed, and also something on the European Union trade deal, the EU trade deal that Canada's working on. But Robin's not here yet, so we're gonna hold off on those. And maybe what we're going to get into is some clips on a major situation going on with the economic crisis and the testimony of Goldman Sachs officials yesterday in the U.S. Senate before the Senate Governmental Affairs Subcommittee, and also the report of the Bank of Canada monetary policy by the former Goldman Sachs current governor of the Bank of Canada, Mark Carney. So we're going to be talking about the economic situation. Plus, about halfway through the show, we're going to be hearing from the Prince of Pot himself, Mr. Mark Emery, who will be on the show to tell us about what we can expect for the Freedom Fest coming up, taking place this Saturday at Queen's Park North here in Toronto. Freedom Festival is coming up, but until then, you know, we'll just we'll be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So there you just heard the voice of the Reverend Kevin Annett, who is from the out west area, or that's where he spends most of his time, I guess, in Vancouver. But he's recently been around the world. He actually, Kevin Annett, if you check out hiddenfromhistory.org, you can find some info on his most recent trip to Rome, actually, to Vatican City, where he performed an exorcism on the Vatican. So, you know, there's things are going on worldwide, and Kevin Annett's been doing a lot of research into the genocidal past of the history of Canada involving the relationship with the colonizers and the First Nations. But anyways, there's a bunch of stuff going on, and we got a... we have a situation here with the immigration. Now, the co-host Robin Nieto was planning to send in a clip, or he's going to bring in a clip about the bill in Arizona that we focused on a bit last week, and he was going to have an update on that, but we don't quite have that because Robin's not here yet. Until then, I think it might be a good time to play some thoughts on immigration from the actual leaders' debate in the United Kingdom. Now, if you don't know, UK or Great Britain is right now in an election mode. They've got election coming up in the beginning of May. So they just had a debate last week, and I got a clip here of the UK leaders talking about immigration policy on the island of England, I guess, in the UK, United Kingdom. The leaders you're going to hear, I think it starts off with the leader of the Liberal Democrats, Nick Clegg, who's, I guess, the third party in this. And then you'll hear the current Prime Minister and Labour leader, Gordon Brown. And then the Conservative frontrunner, David Cameron, jumps in. So anyways, here's that clip, and we'll be right back with Word of Mouth Wednesday.
This is a really sensitive issue. People feel quite rightly really strongly about immigration. People feel very unsettled that they have had no faith in an immigration system which had been run chaotically by both Conservative and Labour governments for a long time. All I would say to both David Cameron and Gordon Brown is, yes, let's have our differences, but please don't live in denial about what is going on. Don't live in denial about the fact that because of the chaos in the system, we've got lots of people here who are working for criminal gangs rather than for Britain. We've got to deal with that. You can pretend that we can sort of wish it away. It is a problem. They are here. Now, of course, what I'm saying is controversial and people try and score points. It is at least an attempt to deal with an issue which we have to deal with. I don't think we can have another 10 years, another 20 years in the old way just ignoring these things. We can't come up with promises like caps, which don't work. And by the way, they're going to say how high the cap
Nick, I'm not really interested here in point scoring. I'm interested in doing the right thing. If we send send out a message to people in other parts of the world, you get an amnesty if you come to this country, then you've got a real problem.
What are you going to do?
Net inward migration is coming down as a result of the point system that we introduced. It's come down 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and it's coming down this year. We are taking the action that is necessary, and from the end of this year, people will be counted in and counted out
Gordon
of the country.
What are you going to
and
do?
It would be more helpful if you would support identity cards for foreign nationals instead of opposing
it. I'm just asking for a simple, honest answer to a big question, which is that because of the chaos in the system in the past, we have lots of people who are here. Now, if you just ignore it, they will carry on living in the shadows of our economy. Now, you can either deny it, which you're doing, because you've got no plan to deal with it. Neither do you. Or you try and... No, you can't deport 900,000 people and you don't know where they live.
Okay.
I mean, all I'd say is that the more they argue amongst each other, the more it's absolutely clear to me the only way you'll get real change, real action, sensible action on this issue is from a Conservative government. It is a sensitive issue and it needs to be dealt with sensitively, reasonably. It's very important that we talk about this properly, but I think the country wants and deserves firm immigration control instead of the sort of nonsense
what kind of cap? Here,
and that would make a difference. And what it would really achieve is getting back to where we used to be, where we didn't have immigration questions at public meetings, we weren't asked about it on the street, when you knocked on a door, nobody raised it. Why? Because the British public was happy with the level of immigration. We knew that was a level we could integrate and provide good health and housing and schools for people. It's been out of control these last 13 years. That's Labour's fault. And from all I can hear, the Liberal Democrats would make it much worse.
David Cameron, what would the cap be?
Well, you'd set the cap.
And what's the number?
No, you set the cap
every
year.
Is it 10,000? Is it 10 million?
No, if you have a cap. If you want to let me answer the question,
just a number.
You're reminding me of Gordon last week. It's like another replay. The fact is, every year you need to talk with the health authorities, the housing authorities, the education authorities, and business, and set a cap to achieve a very big reduction in overall immigration levels.
So that's some words from the UK leaders' debate. As you heard there, finishing off in that clip was the Conservative leader David Cameron talking about putting a cap on immigration. And also you heard in there, Gordon Brown's plan involves an ID system to give immigrants an ID, a new type of ID card. That's the Labour plan. And then the plan of the Liberal Democrats, which wasn't totally spelled out in that clip, but I think it has to do something to do with amnesty. It's a more controversial plan. So anyways, that's a bit of what's going on in England and UK with the elections going on over there. Over across the Atlantic, but you know, down south things are heating up as the bill that we were discussing last week passed in the Arizona State Legislature, and so now here is a update segment sent in by Robin Nieto, who's got a report here on the Arizona anti-immigrant bill passing.
In the United States, Republican Governor Jan Brewer signed a new immigration law targeting Hispanic migrant workers in Arizona.
The Support Law Enforcement Neighborhoods Act strengthens the laws of our state. It protects all of us, every Arizona citizen, and everyone here in our state lawfully. And it does so while ensuring that the constitutional rights of all in Arizona remain solid, stable, and steadfast. I will now sign Senate Bill 1070.
The new law obligates police to question anyone they suspect may not have their immigration documents in order. Immigrants unable to produce documents showing they are allowed to be in the United States could be arrested, jailed for up to 6 months, and fined $2,500. On Tuesday, U.S. President Barack Obama warned that the new law targets people who look like they might be illegal immigrants, specifically Hispanics. Mr. Obama is pleading with Republicans to join with Democrats to find a permanent solution to the country's immigration system.
The American people demand and deserve a solution. They deserve common sense, comprehensive immigration reform grounded in the principles of responsibility and accountability. Our failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threatened to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans, as well as the trust between police and their communities that is so crucial to keeping us safe. In fact, I've instructed members of my administration to closely monitor the situation and examine the civil rights and other implications of this legislation. But if we continue to fail to act at a federal level, we will continue to see misguided efforts opening up around the country. I'll continue to consult with Democrats and Republicans in Congress, and I would note that 11 current Republican senators voted to pass immigration reform 4 years ago. So I'm hopeful that they will join with Democrats in doing so again, so we can make the progress the American people deserve.
And now we're going to hear the perspective of an immigrant in the United States about the new immigration law passed in Arizona.
This is the governor of Arizona. She just signed into law in Arizona a racial profiling immigration law that will select people based on their race, and it will put into danger the entire state and, as a consequence, the entire country. I say don't forget this, because the impact will be huge. On the economical level, don't forget that Arizona's more than 500,000 illegal immigrants, not to talk about the huge population, Hispanic population is growing. There could be a boycott, there could be a lot of things that could be done by the Hispanic community on that, with a huge impact on the economy of the states. So don't forget this. This is a very important point. Second point, you have to bring your papers with going around. They will never do with me. I'm a legal immigrant in the United States, and I have a green card. But the point is, I'm a white. They will never stop me. And in case they stop me, these are the things that could happen to me if I don't show my green card, if I don't have my green card with me. And there is a reason why I don't bring my green card with me every moment, because if I lose my green card, if someone steals my green card, if I don't have any more identification, it will take a very long time for me to get my green card back and to travel in a normal way and leave the United States if I want to go back to Italy or whatever. That's the reason. I cannot carry with me my green card, but many people, they don't know that. They don't know this. Now it becomes law. You become a criminal if you don't have your documentation with you. But as I said, it probably will never happen to me, but definitely will happen to many, many people that have black skin, or they are dark skin, or they look strange, or they have strange shoes, or they are poor. By definition, you are an illegal immigrant. Obama could veto this law, and clearly said today, we will see in this Chris Matthew excerpt, he probably will do something against it.
For CKLN Wednesday Word of Mouth, this is Robin Nieto.
All right, and thanks to Robin Nieto for sending in that clip there on the situation, big situation going on in the United States involving immigration, and the, you know, the situation in Arizona with an immigration bill just passing. And you know, we got some stuff coming up with the we're also going to be getting into talking about the Freedom Fest. One of the performers at the Freedom Fest is going to be Socrates this weekend. So this track here is actually by Socrates featuring Decisive. It's a track called Wednesday, and we'll be back on Word of Mouth Wednesday.
On a Wednesday.
So wonderful.
So hard to get over. Get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty enough. It's hard to get over. I don't want to sober up. I believe it was a Wednesday. So hard to get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty enough. It's hard to get over. I don't wanna sober.
It's so plain to me. Play the role like A to Z. I install faith in me. On a cake and cheese diet, tying up the maitre d'. I don't think they even know. Tighter than a sentinel, with Morpheus taking notes. Neo sitting over there hating I was sent for you. Short time, long money, something like a pimper do. Always got a new bitch and a couple of stitches trying to make it difficult. Baby talk, coochie coo. You ain't on my level, man. You more like a hula hoop. I'ma spin forever, man. Like a satellite, and yeah, to fight for everything. Silence was deafening. I came and settled in like cocoa leaf sediment. Quick. hide the evidence like trying to hide an elephant. Or Ella Fitzgerald trying to hide like she never been. Or whack niggas trying to hide they relevance. I'm hotter than I ever been. Something like the president of present day America for seeking high residence. Yeah, something like the modern day Shakespeare. Am I heaven sent or heaven bound? When sipping on a Wednesday, do you think you're going down? We're going down.
I'm sipping on a Wednesday. So hard to get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty. It's hard to get over. I don't wanna sober up. Sober up.
I believe it was a Wednesday.
So hard to get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty. It's hard to get over.
Finger on the trigger of a shotgun. Blowing holes through clouds. Cold blue styles. Make a donut out of a full moon. Lone wolf prowl. Hunt with a Gandhi hunger. Summertime shine of thunder. Whatever my body's under. You remain Archie Bunker. Reminisce at the keys for your theme. Begging to be buried 6 feet underneath. Swallowed by soil and insects. Never will amount to a thing said with intent to impress. As long as I stand on my sneaker soles. Your words be nothing but weaker poems out of speaker holes. Piss test failure, dope you're not. Piss poor, sober, Vogue, poser, photoshopped. I'm forever now, you're a never been. Invisible to your country, Loretta Lynn. Singing treasured hymns, I was under a 7 year slumber. Woke up, found a way to dominate in one. Lap around the sun, son.
I'm sipping on a Wednesday. So hard to get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty. It's hard to get over. I don't wanna sober up. I believe it was a Wednesday. So hard to get over. Take a breath and soldier up. With living ain't plenty. It's hard to get over. I don't wanna sober up. Sober up. Sober up.
Socrates is going to be hitting the stage this weekend at Freedom Fest, Saturday, Queens Park North. One of the many performers performing at the Freedom Festival of Toronto. TorontoFreedomFestival.com for more information. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. It's about 7:19 p.m. And I just wanted to get into another topic we can be talking about, because things are heating up on the issue of, well, fraud. And, you know, if you've been listening to the Word of Mouth Wednesday, we've been talking about this, you know, since the big economic collapse of 08, the great collapse of 08. When, you know, it was basically identified that the TARP was a major cover-up. So we finally got one of the central banks, you know, and there's a lot of banks that are at the center of this, you know, and Goldman Sachs didn't even used to be a bank. It just used to be an investment house. But basically, Goldman Sachs right now has been charged by the American government, the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, for fraud, and it's currently there's stuff going on in a civil court, so it's not a criminal court. That's where the conspiracy theorists get their theories that this is a big cover up. This what's going on here, you know, but. I guess that'll be seen over time if this is just a cover up and that Goldman Sachs will just maybe get off with a fine or something. But, you know, until then, it seems like things are at the point where Goldman Sachs is in a tough spot, and their, you know, top officials were on the stand testifying yesterday. Here is a clip of the Democratic senator. I think she's from Missouri, Senator McCaskill, speaking with the CEO of Goldman Sachs, the man who's in the past said that they're doing God's work, Lloyd Blankfein and Senator McCaskill have this exchange yesterday on the topics of the causes and effects of the current state of the economic crisis, and what are those toxic derivatives?
I think there's
really
a lot about this that relates to gambling on a sporting event. Because the synthetic CDOs didn't represent anything but gambling. It was folks taking one side or the other on, wasn't real mortgages in there. It was just stuff saying take a bet, just like you bet on a football game. Is there anything that you would not create a market for if a client came to you to create a market? I understand that some people are trying to create a derivative market now on how movies are going to do.
I haven't heard about or involved in it. I mean, I'm sure there is. But if there's somebody who has, and it's, if there's somebody whose business depends on, would be able to do their business better if they were able to hedge or eliminate a financial risk, and they came to us and asked us to eliminate that risk, and it was a legitimate, proper, and honest, and susceptible of being understood, I think we would, they would come to us and ask to do it. You know, when you're
doing
that.
Didn't Mr. Paulson just want to make money because he thought the market was going to tank? Wasn't he? Didn't have a. He just was looking for a place to score on a bet, wasn't he?
I can't say what Mr. Paulson is speaking, but there's nothing wrong. Speculate if he was, which I don't know what he was thinking. If he was just a speculator, there are people who speculate in corn and speculate in all sorts of commodities that allow the professional users of those markets to complete their hedges. That's a socially acceptable.
Mr. Blankfein, there is a big difference between finding the opposite side of a certainty in a commodity hedge for a farmer that needs certainty, or an airline company that needs to figure out what jet fuel is going to cost, and two sides of a deal that are both just betting. There's nothing in a synthetic CDO that is essential to certainty to anybody's business other than somebody just deciding they want to take one side of a deal and the other side of a deal. That's what a synthetic CDO is.
You know, every futures contract on oil or anything consists of, you could characterize it as a bet, but not the underlying commodity. Some of these things just don't even settle in physical form, but they provide the liquidity and the opportunity for people who want to hedge themselves to get in and take that position.
And we can't take this too far. We can't continue. I mean, you don't think
sure.
That there's a...
Today. This I know, he's a peaceful warrior, speaking only the truth, yet cut down by ruthless lies. Free Mark Emery, and free ourselves. Free Mark Emery, and free ourselves.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. In the background there, you're hearing the Grand Luminosity song, Free Mark Emery. And that's because right now we got on the phone returning to the Word of Mouth Wednesday tonight to talk with us about what's the latest that's been going on with his case and legal situation and, you know, the politics in Canada, as well as promoting the Freedom Festival, which is taking place this Saturday at Queen's Park North. And it's an honor to welcome to Word of Mouth Wednesday Mark Emery.
Hello, it's great to be there, and I will be there in just a few days.
Awesome, and you know, I guess what everyone wants to know is what's your current situation legally? I know that there's the big extradition to the U.S. Threats and things going on. What's going on currently?
Well, I've been out on bail for a number of months now. Originally, when I turned myself in September, I thought I would be extradited to the United States within 28 days. But what happened is our lawyer got very sick. He wasn't able to make the final submission of documents to the Justice Minister, Rob Nicholson, who has to make a decision about my extradition. And so I was let out on bail, waiting for the inevitable, you know, getting sent south to the U.S. But he's been able to do that, Rob Nicholson, since January 8th, and it's almost 5 months now. And apparently he has a deadline of May 10th to order me extradited or order me not extradited. He can choose either one. And because he's received tens of thousands of calls and petitions and letters, handwritten letters, I believe that's why I'm still here, because tens of thousands of Canadians have told him not to do it. And it looks like we might have an election in as soon as 2 weeks. And oddly enough, in 2 weeks is when he's scheduled to announce whether he's extraditing me or not. So I think when the Conservatives are at their all-time low of 29% and an election is imminent, I doubt they're going to further aggravate people to show up to vote by extraditing me. So I'm very optimistic that with all the combined pressure that Canadians have put on this government in regards to my extradition, that I will not be being sent away anytime soon, as long as people keep up the pressure. And of course, if they go to noextradition.net or cannabisculture.com, you'll see a free Mark Emery logo, and people are encouraged to click on that, and it'll give them all the contact numbers for contacting the Ministry of Justice's office and urging them not to extradite me.
Great, yeah, and I've been trying to keep up with this situation. You know, during the fall, I was actually listening to on cannabisculture.com. I found the links to the prison podcasts, which I had been listening to in October and November, which you can find cannabisculture.com. And
some of my best work I did in jail too. I often, because you get the clarity of mind in jail, because you're allowed, you know, you can think. And a lot of people in jail, they're not thinking a lot. They're just trying to kill time. But when I'm there, I read a lot, I write a lot, and I'm able to focus on thoughts. In the real world, you're always reacting to things. You know, phone calls ring, people want your attention. Things have to be done. So you don't get a chance to put together quality thoughts. So my prison podcasts are some of the best work I've ever done, particularly number 5, which is the one that reviews Stephen Harper and the Conservatives. And it predicts everything that's happening now because I did some really great research in jail. And when I found out how much all these tough on crime bills were going to cost the Canadian public, I concluded that it was going to cost them an additional $8 to $10 billion every year with the programs and plans the Conservatives have in mind to lock so many more people up for marijuana and drug abuse. So number 5 is a good one. Number 6, which was my Remembrance Day piece, was an awesome, brilliantly written piece. I mean, and normally, you know, I don't really say that about too many pieces. I've written maybe like 5 or 6 great things in my lifetime. But I did some good work there that I encourage people to go to the Prison Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, and there's 9 of them. And number 5, 6, 8, and 9 are really excellent.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely can get a lot of information from those, you know. And I really got the sense of the bad conditions in the jails, and then the sense that you were being moved around.
I was moved around a lot at the beginning, but that's something you end up trying to get used to, because prison is such an awkward experience for a normal person. When I say normal person, most of the people in jail are people who've been there before, and they're also people that you would anticipate were going to end up in there inevitably. Most of the people I meet in jail don't have a father of any note. They don't have good parents. They didn't have good parents. They really had a chaotic childhood. So I'm one of the few people that end up in jail who have a lot of love in their life and people who care about them and what have you. So for someone who's grown up with a lot of love in a normal environment, being in maximum security for 2 months is a very difficult and onerous thing. You never go outside. You see the set. You're locked in your cell 18 to 20 hours a day. It's a very tiny cell.
And this was in the U.S.?
Steel. But, you know, as long as you're like me and you can read and you can write, then the time is not terribly spent.
And this was a U.S. jail?
No, this is a Canadian jail.
Oh, okay.
A pretrial center is maximum security.
Oh.
It's more restrictive than actually when you're sentenced.
Wow.
And you go to, say, a minimum security or medium security. Hopefully in the United States, after I wend my way through their system, if I get sent there, I'll end up in a minimum security prison where I perhaps can work on a garden or get to go outside, which I never saw in the 60 days I was in jail in North Fraser pretrial.
Wow. Well, you know, we've been following here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We follow some different political prisoners and situations going on in Canada. And actually, one of them I wanted to ask you about has to do with someone who's outside of Canada right now. And a person we've talked about on the show and the media's talked about. And that was a man who's treating cancer with medical marijuana, with a marijuana extract, Rick Simpson, who's currently in exile in Europe. But do you have any comments about Rick Simpson?
Yeah, Rick Simpson, he should. I don't agree with him being in exile. I think if you're open and straightforward like he's been, you should come back and face the music. Like, I'm not opposed to being tried in Canada for the seed activities I did. Because I'm proud of what I did, and I think it has a purpose, and there's a meaning that I would enjoy explaining to the jury or to a courtroom. And if I get sent to jail, then that's the way it goes. The reason I oppose my extradition is because that's a purely political persecution. It's not related to Canadian law. It's not related to Canadian justice. It's not related to the fact that I'm Canadian and I did all my activities in Canada. Excuse me.
Right.
Rick Simpson, he's just buggered off, and he should come back to Canada. You know, they're not putting an old man like him in jail, so I don't know what he's worried about. He does not really stand the likelihood of going to jail for any length of time. And if he was really growing things out for medical reasons, he should make that claim to the court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he should stop floating around Europe, and he should come back to Canada. And if you're going to be a hero, running away is not the way to be it. If you're going to be a hero, you've got to face up to what you've done and defend it honestly and straightforwardly, like I would plan to do. And then, you know, you take what comes. And if you get martyred, that's worth it in the long run. Being free is only a relevant value, you know, if your message is fully out there. But I think Rick Simpson, he should come back to Canada and become even a bigger star, go to court, and defend himself. I doubt very much he'll go to jail. And I think that's unfortunately what it is. He's running away because he's afraid of jail. And if you're going to be a superstar in this industry, this business, this political activity, this, you know, this kind of thing, then you cannot be afraid. You cannot have fear. You can't be going away and running off and staying around in Europe and going from couch to couch and stuff like that. You have to come back here and explain what you did and explain the righteousness of it and then trust that the Canadian people will get you out over time, which is what I'm putting my faith in, and I think that's the way to go.
Right, and that's why I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Mark Emery. And, you know, there's another thing I wanted to ask you about is what we're seeing going here locally, here around here in Toronto. Recently, there was a Compassion Club, Calm, that was raided.
And it's an excellent Compassion Club. It's been around 12 years. It's run by my friend Neve, an excellent fellow, who organizes the Toronto Freedom Festival, which I'll be at in a few days. And hopefully we'll have some great weather, and we can talk about Calm and get people to become more politically active. It looks like we're going to have an election here in 2 weeks, and this is a very important time to make sure people get out to vote against the Conservative government. They hate us. They hate the pot people. They're religious fundamentalists with a perverted view of how the Bible interprets cannabis. It's a wrong view. And there are a lot of people we can vote for, from the NDP to the Greens, and even the Liberals, and even the Bloc in Quebec, who would be a superior choice to the Conservatives as far as the cannabis culture goes. And as far as medical marijuana legislation goes, too. The NDP are more popular now than they've been in years, and I think that's an encouraging thing. We need to encourage people to vote for the NDP federally, and we need to encourage them to vote for the Green Party federally. My wife, Jody Emery, who will be at the Toronto Freedom Festival on Saturday, is a candidate for the Green Party in the federal election, and she's really pleased to be the policing critic for the BC Green Party, and she actually helps formulate a lot of the policy on cannabis here, and that's why we know the Green Party of Canada has a great cannabis policy. Almost all of their candidates favor full legalization and are willing to speak about it, which is really great. And the NDP, it has many members who are also in favor of legalization, like Libby Davies and Bill 6A and that sort of thing. So we've got support in Parliament. We have to get out and vote for them to make it worth their while. The Conservatives are praying that only the adults, you know, the old people in Canada show up to vote, because typically young people don't show up to vote, and that allows old people to vote for the people they want, and then that means we are subject to the dictates of rural conservative older Canadians instead of, you know, young, hip, modern, urban Canadians. Because urban Canadians, young people don't get out to vote as much. And that we have to change.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, with the, you know, the events going on, that's why, you know, we hopefully get some people out to the Freedom Fest, you know. And I every year I've been there, it's been, there's been thousands of people. So I'm sure there's going to be some people there this Saturday for the marijuana march, you know. But actually a few blocks away from the station is Yonge Dundas Square. And last week there was actually a protest there, a 420 hash mob. You know, and then there was some sort of incident that got in mainstream media because there was some sort of incident with a gun that happened there.
Yeah, well, some gang member took a gun, but he was quickly subdued by the potheads, who were far more alert than people might give us credit for, and they disarm that fellow in no time at all. But unfortunately, the media likes sensational things, and so they focus on the fact that some guy brought a gun to an otherwise peaceful, huge rally of several thousand people. So, but you know what? We didn't see much about the gun part out in Western Canada. We mostly just saw the large crowds in Toronto, and that was awesome, and these spectacularly large crowds in Ottawa. Parliament Hill, I've never seen it so filled with people out to celebrate the cannabis culture. That was a massive, large group of people there. It was impressive to see.
No, well, yeah, and what's okay? So you just mentioned Parliament Hill, and I was just about to ask you about the situation in Ottawa, because you're even saying that you think there could be an election coming soon.
Very soon, very soon. And I think the Conservatives are so contemptuous of democracy, of Parliament, of the Canadian people, that, you know, I can't wait to have an election. And I think if Stephen Harper doesn't get his majority, which I'm not convinced he will, then I think the Conservatives will not form the government, because the others will have a coalition and form it. They're just not letting Stephen Harper have another chance. If they can actually get up the nerve to have a non-confidence motion and, you know, let's get this election on the road.
Right, for sure. And the, you know, the situation here in Canada, I was about to ask you about, or I want to ask you about your experiences recently in Vancouver with the, where you had the Winter Olympics, because there's a major event coming up here in Toronto. You know, and the New World Order is coming to town for Toronto at the end of June for the G20 summit.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you know, with your experience in Vancouver in the Winter Olympics, do you have any recommendations for people here in Toronto about what will happen to the city, I guess, when these major events?
Well, if I were going to protest the G20 or the G8, I would zero in on something specific. You know, outbursts of anger where you're coming with black flags and screaming for the cameras, even though that's a gratuitous fun thing, is really counterproductive. I'm hoping the people who protest the G20 will protest the worldwide prohibition that we have, because that's something young people can really relate to. All these governments that are attending the G20 have prohibition policies in effect that jail people in their country, and that's what I think our people should emphasize if they're going to go out and protest, is prohibition is in all these 20 countries. It soaks up billions of dollars in valuable funds. It's completely counterproductive. The more we enforce the drug war, the more crime and violence we have. And all these things are easy to explain to people and are factually based. So when we protest the G20 next month, I think we should focus in on the prohibition policies of those countries, because it's something young people can really relate to, something specific we can ask them to get rid of that will benefit everybody. That's a win-win thing, is to get rid of prohibition policies. Save money, increase civil liberty, increase the benefits to the people, you know, free the weed. All those things would be great things to point out to the G20.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, I just got, well, actually, we just got a question here sent in from a listener in Toronto. And it says, yo, Mark, do you have a favorite strain of Mary Jane?
I do. You never see it, though. It's called White Widow. But I have seen a pure White Widow maybe twice in the last 5 to 7 years. Very few people grow it because it doesn't yield very much, but it's incredibly beautiful strain. I've smoked it maybe on 4 occasions in the last 10 years, not very much. And if anybody's going to be there on Saturday with Pure White Widow, please track me down. I'll be there at our booth selling free Mark T-shirts and hoodies. They'll be on sale there. We're bringing lots. I'll autograph them along with posters and T-shirts and things like that. And I'll be there for 6 or 7 hours, so I'll be there for a long time. So please come and smoke me up.
For sure, and the last time I saw you speak was actually in the summer at Vapor Central.
Oh yeah, on the farewell tour. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was a packed Vapor Central, and a lot of knowledge from yourself, Mark Emery. And you know, you're going to be speaking in the evening on Saturday at the Freedom Fest. What can the listeners expect? What can the people expect from Freedom Fest?
Well, first of all, it's a great communal pot party. There's going to be probably 10 to 20,000 people there, depending on the weather. And there should be a lot of people smoking pot. And there should be a lot of people hopefully introducing themselves to other activists so that they can be contacted. I hope people are going to be exchanging their Facebook, you know, addresses and their contact information so that people can get them out for political activities. I mean, Jody will be there promoting the Green Party of Canada, as she's a candidate. So one of the things we hope to get people to do is join a political party, get involved in politics. It's a dirty business. It's disgusting at times. It's cynical. But remember, the people in power want us to get jaded and cynical. They want us to give up on politics because then they have more control over us when we give up on the system. In fact, when you participate in the system, when you make sure you vote, when you run for office, when you get involved in a political campaign, when you donate money, it gives you more power and more control over the system because you become part of the system. Your voice begins to matter, even if it's just a little. And as time goes by, you develop more contacts, more connections, more influence, and more power. Most of these political parties have committees that you can sit on right away and start exercising your influence and start making your voice heard within a political party. And it can be any political party, the Conservatives, the Liberals, the Greens, the NDP. If you join a political party, you begin to have a bigger say in the system, and more so, you actually begin to understand how the system works. And then you begin to become more effective in politics and changing the world.
Right, yeah, I agree. I guess my only hesitation would be with getting into this, the more you get involved with the system, I guess the more automatons you might encounter.
Well, the danger is to be co-opted by the system. You become
right.
So much part of the establishment, you're not recognizable as a rebel or a dissenter anymore. But we have a long way to go before we find ourselves in that position where we're the status quo. That would be kind of nice, actually. But we're not the status quo. We're on the outside looking in. And the people who are on the inside are largely older people who have been in politics a long, long time, and they want to keep the control of the game they've got going. So we have to crash that party. We have to get involved. We have to put a suit on. We have to go to meetings, boring, terrible meetings that we all hate, but we have to go to them. And we have to participate in this kind of boring, old-person political behavior because we need to take our country back, and it has to be done one dirty political job at a time.
For real, and that's why I'm glad to have spoken with you today on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, Mr. Mark Emery, and we're looking forward to the Freedom Fest coming up on Saturday.
Yes, ironically, I had to get court permission to travel to the Freedom Festival because my bail conditions don't let me leave British Columbia without getting a whole bunch of things from the court. So I will be enjoying my freedom, brief as it is and tenuous as it is, in Toronto. Come and get a T-shirt, a Free Mark T-shirt from me. Look for myself or my wife, Jody Emery. We'll be there talking to everyone all day long, and hopefully we'll get to meet everybody who shows up.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you there, Mark.
Yep, bye now.
All right, thanks a lot. And the movement is going on. Free Mark Emery is the movement. And you just heard from the man himself, Mark Emery. You can check out TorontoFreedomFestival.com. You can also check out CannabisCulture.com. It's Free Mark Emery, and the movement goes strong. This is that some more of that track from the Ground Illuminosity, Free Mark Emery.
Can you see the light change in the sky? There he goes.
There he goes.
A hooded lion. The hood will fall. Soon stand tall. The lion. The lion walks again. The lion talks again. The shackles and chains dissolved by the rains of Zion. Again, when freedom prevails, empty the jail of Babylon.
Florida Mouth Wednesday. All right, we're back here, and you heard from the man, Mark Emery, and it's a Free Mark Emery movement. The movement is going on, and you know, briefly in there, we mentioned Rick Simpson, who I've mentioned him briefly on the show before, I know, and I think the host, Black Krishna, the host of Rude Awakenings, actually played some clips from the documentary. If you're looking for more information on Rick Simpson, though, a man who's currently in exile in Europe because his area was raided. I think he's from Nova Scotia. It was raided while he was in Europe, and then he hasn't come back since because he had been treating dozens of people who had illnesses such as cancer. And many of them were having, you know, positive effects, positive results. And the fact remains that in the laws of Canada, I guess the cannabis, especially that amount, is illegal. The amounts that Rick Simpson had to make this extract. But for more information, though, on the Rick Simpson case, you can just search "Run from the Cure." Run from the Cure. If you go to YouTube, you can watch the documentary in parts. Or if you're ever at a Toronto Truth Seekers meetup, sometimes the DVD, you never know what DVDs are going to be around, but sometimes the Run from the Cure discs are being given out by Toronto Truth Seekers. And that's usually at the Saturdays at Young Dundas. But I think this week a lot of people are going to be at the Freedom Festival, because Freedom Festival was also featuring, I think there's a conspiracy culture hour where the Press for Truth reporters, Dan Dix and Brian Law, and I think maybe even Black Krishna are going to be speaking on one of the stages, the speaker stage, so at one point during the day. You know, you can find the whole schedule, though, at the TorontoFreedomFestival.com. website. Before that, though, before Mark Emery called in, we had been playing that clip on the current scandals going on in the U.S. where we got Goldman Sachs being charged with fraud. Now, this is a major thing here. You heard Lloyd Blankfein and Senator McCaskill almost sort of grilling Lloyd Blankfein about the gambling nature of these type of derivatives that it's more like betting, you know, than, basically one person's going to win, one's going to lose. And, you know, this is the kind of bets going on that we're seeing. So I wanted to play another clip here of the CEO, Lloyd Blankfein. This is after the hearing yesterday. He got on CNBC, got an interview, exclusive interview with Lloyd Blankfein. And here's just a short clip of Lloyd Blankfein's reaction to this Senate hearing.
Do you have the support of your board of directors?
I believe I have the support. Final question to you, Lloyd. You've said in the past, and I don't believe you were being sarcastic when you said it, that what is good for Goldman Sachs is good for America. Do you still believe that?
I'm not sure I said that, but I will say that Goldman Sachs's interests require are best served by a strong economy. Most of the activities that we do correlate with growth and strength in the economy. And if the economy doesn't grow, it's bad for Goldman Sachs.
So that's okay. That's basically the update there from the CEO of Goldman Sachs. But just to delve into this a bit deeper, to find out how vast this conspiracy is, to understand how the international thing going on here with Goldman Sachs, conspiracy theory is that Goldman Sachs will be fine because they have infiltrated government, and that's, you know, and that's a big word, but I'll remind you that this is a firm that's currently being investigated by the SEC, or it's been charged by the SEC, and they're currently investigating it in the Senate, the U.S. Senate. So to give you just a bit of a taste of this, how about we go to what happened yesterday in Ottawa, in Canada? The governor of the Bank of Canada had his monetary outlook speech. It was the report of the Bank of Canada on monetary policy, and who you're going to hear in this clip is Mark Carney, who was formerly of Goldman Sachs. So here is Mark Carney's thoughts here on
better capital, better liquidity management, higher liquidity actually carried on the books. Those are all factors that will reduce the probability of failure of individual institutions. Collectively, will improve the resilience of the system. The other factor, which is important to consider, is the interconnectedness of institutions. Do they hold each other's bonds? Are they big counterparties with each other's? How related are institutions? Because the contagion effect of one institution going down, and I would point out, you know this, but it bears remembering that Bear Stearns was the sixth largest investment bank in the United States. So not a big investment bank, but the sixth largest, and it was the determination of the U.S. authorities that it was too big, or rather too interconnected, to fail, which is why they took steps and to engineer an orderly rescue of that firm. And I must say, based on what I know and understand of the situation and understood at the time, that that was the right decision. So one has to attack as well these interconnections in as part of financial reform, so that an individual institution can be separated, if you will, from the system if they have failed.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's some of the bit of the too big to fail there. The situation, you know, that there's financial reform, and then that was on the clip about, you know, what is this really too big to fail? What are they really talking about? Well, in the Bank of Canada here, Mark Carney has, you know, here's one of his plans. What we can look out for, especially with the upcoming G20 summit.
You know, crises help forge relationships, and the relationships that we built up in the G8 and G20 have helped to advance the reform process, and certainly the performance of the Canadian sector has helped advance things. And finally, I would say that you know, it's up to us to provide some intellectual leadership on some issues at the G20 to move things forward, because the system obviously needs dramatic change.
Dramatic change. Okay, those are some big words here. We need a dramatic change coming up at G20. What will they be implementing here? Well, here we have the Liberal. He's the critic for the finance minister. He's the finance critic, John McCallum, the Honorable John McCallum, talking about...
I've heard numbers like several hundred billions of dollars per year could be earned from a small tax on transactions, whether foreign exchange transactions or somehow a broader set of transactions.
Transactions tax? Okay, that's something we can think about here. What happens when Mark Carney is asked about a transactions tax?
It is likely to fall on the end borrower very clearly, not just in terms of, obviously importantly, individuals who are doing foreign exchange transactions for normal activities like going across the border to visit friends and family, but commercial borrowers and households. So it should be passed net through. And that is the conclusion with respect to a Tobin tax or financial transaction tax of the IMF. And that's the one tax they didn't recommend to the G20 this past weekend.
So the Tobin tax is also sometimes known as the Robin Hood tax. They're talking about a fraction of a percent, a small tax on every single foreign currency transaction. So this is being billed as something that would affect, you know, the people that do these foreign currency transactions. And there are, I guess there's, you know, billions, maybe even trillions of this these kind of transactions going on. And it's estimated, you know, you heard the Honorable John McCallum talking about that this could be hundreds of billions. Some of the numbers they're saying this could generate hundreds of billions of dollars. But it's being stalled, and different people have a different outlook on it. Some people are highly skeptical of it because the thoughts are that these fractions of a percent that would add up to these hundreds of billions would just go directly to the IMF, and then the IMF could give it to whichever nations or companies they desire. I guess you don't want to totally lose hope on a international organization like an IMF or a World Bank. But, you know, some of these things going on with Greece, well, when you start researching some of the different opinions on the economic crisis, you find that there are people who think that what's going on in Greece is just the tip of the iceberg, or that it's just a cover-up for the major problems going on worldwide, that sovereign debt crisis is not confined to one country, Greece, but actually is going on worldwide. Various states in the United States, they say the numbers in California are even worse than the numbers in Greece, but you don't hear about them talking about the state of California too much on the news, at least not as much as they're talking about this bailout of Greece. Well, this is affecting the euro. It's affecting the euro. They've put Greece down to junk status. They're moving Portugal down. They're moving Spain down on the list. And apparently it's been said that the UK and the USA can't count on a AAA rating forever. So who knows what's really going to happen with this. But there is a G20 coming up to Toronto, and there is the threats. There is the threats. I guess maybe it's not totally a threat, but there is words on a possible one world currency. Understand? That's some of the information we've been trying to get out with the Toronto Truth Seekers. You can check out youtube.com/supportlocalscene for a recent segment up there about the one world currency that's currently going on. But, you know, Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're just going to wrap up here because there is stuff going on that we got to mention here coming up this weekend, Saturday, May 1st. It is the International Workers' Day, March for Status for All, 1 p.m. at St. Jamestown near Wellesley Street and Ontario Street, intersection 1 p.m., May Day of Action March, the May Day March this Saturday. Plus, this Saturday is also the 12th annual Global Marijuana March, a different march going on at 1:15 p.m. this Saturday, and the 4th annual Toronto Freedom Festival. That's all going on at Queen's Park North. You got music, speakers, smokers, and more. And you can check out TorontoFreedomFestival.com for the Toronto Freedom Fest. More words on that. And also, this Sunday, they got the May 2nd, Sunday evening, there is an event that's going to be an evening with the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. David Ray Griffin and Richard Gage are both going to be in Toronto speaking about 9/11 Truth issues from an architects and engineers perspective. For tickets and more information, you can search TorontoTruthSeekers.com for more info. The event's going to be at U of T. U of T Tix has got the tickets, but then also you'll find some links on TorontoTruthSeekers.com. And that's about it here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name is Daniel Libby, and just as we get going here for the changeover in the show, just play a bit of a track here by the artist 95.6. You'll hopefully hear from us next week. And this has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned for the Blue Remedy coming up next.
But you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running products. I deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter, cause in the end you both gon' burn the lava. Thug like talking how you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running products. I deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter, cause in the end you both gon' burn the lava.
Come on, make you the brothers, let's fit in and graph up walls. Welcome to Toronto, it isn't Brooklyn or the Bronx. The pen is mightier than the sword and I'm content to talk, but if it's a revolution that you want, then I'll gladly pick up blocks. I will put on a uniform and straight up bomb first. The bearer of bad news, the driver of your hearse. Tracks full of red rum, yes, murder in the first. Fill up hospital beds with third degree burns. Listen to what I rhyme about, yo, why do you think I wear a mask? It's 95.6, dumb dumb, do the math. I'm ready for waterboarding, send me across the border. Duct tape my mouth shut so I don't talk about the order. Order, order, order in the courts. Military tribunals under Barack Obama's torch. Military dictatorships in full force. Airstrikes killing civilian casualties with no remorse.
Thug life talking how you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running products. I deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter, cause in the end you both gon' burn the lava. Thug life talking how you run, but you ain't running nada.
Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running product. A deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter cause it's the end, you both don't really love us.
Restricted travel, social tires, bags of my eyes, bags under my eyes. I spy with my eyes, life is got the smile. Sound sirens crying like candles, never be happy, can never be free. DS4, that can never be me, can never be me, never be me, never be me. In exile, now my feet ain't on the senselessness. See any rack tensions rising, hatred arising, I could see it in their eyes.